Here we are with episode 108 of the Florida Trail Runners Podcast. And for this episode, we are going back to the Skunk Ape Night Run. And on the chat, we've got Tina Wolf and Kim. You may know her from her Kinspiration aid stations. You know, we've got James Mathis. He's ran the race. He's volunteered countless times. And we've got Amy Thornton, who is the owner of the Run Fit Running Specialty Store in Lutz, Florida. So, you know, if you're in that area, definitely check out that running store. But we are heading back to July 22nd, the Skunk Ape Night Run. You know, the race itself, it has a new women's course record, thanks to Deanna. She got it done, and she absolutely crushed it. You know, John Keir, he won it for the men, and he was so close to getting that course record from Kayla Laxham. But overall, from first to last, you know, it was an amazing time. The Florida Man on Florida Man podcast came out. Dade City Commissioner Ann Constantino, she came out to the race. It was an honor to have them out. And so, hey, let's kick it off with some stories from the Skunk Ape Night Run.
I had my first pregnancy deferral, and there's a guy. It's also his birthday today, Bobby. Alright, so the first person to introduce you, welcome you, other than me, we've got the Florida Man on Florida Man podcast.
Hey, come on everybody, let's get going tonight.
We're gonna run with you, but our doctor is putting clear up, so we can't do it, unfortunately.
Bad heart.
Okay, we go ahead and really quickly, we heard there's a lot of beautiful singers tonight, and it's somebody's birthday today. So we're going to sing if we can.
You guys are beating three other people's
birthday. Raise your hand if it's your birthday. It's mine too. So let's go ahead and sing for me and for all of you. Can we do that together?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lord. Happy birthday to you.
We are the Florida Man on Florida Man podcast. Thank you so much for coming out and running tonight. We were here 3 years ago filming episode 100. We were attacked by a beast. That same beast is here tonight waiting on you. So good luck. We wish you well. We hope you win. And next up, we have a commissioner.
City Commissioner Ann.
City Commissioner Ann, here we are.
Excited that you are here. You are such a rare breed of people, and when I came down that road, I had no idea I'd find this many of such a rare breed of people. You are impressive, and you should be really proud of all the paths that took you to stand in this spot right now. I hope that you have an amazing race, whether you're focused on that very nice next right step, or you're encouraging the person choking on your trail dust, I hope you have an amazing race. So good luck and best of to you.
All right, we're going to count down from 200. Are you ready? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
Hey,
Jojo.
What's up?
Trying to get a couple of beers deep before the start.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey there.
Yeah, hey.
Okay, Kimberly. Hi, Tina.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Now we got everybody connected. Nice.
All right.
James is joining. James Mathis. He's hopping on to join.
Oh, I'm here.
Hey, James.
Hey.
The beef boy. Love him.
But hey, how are y'all feeling since Skunk Ape?
I'm feeling good.
All her injuries have healed from the fall.
Yes.
Ooh, she had bruises everywhere. It's amazing how you can get so many bruises just from falling flat out.
Oh, I was just thinking, I've been there, typically fall on a trail race, but this was one I did not fall on. So recovery's been great.
Yeah, just a few bruises and some, you know, the briars.
The smell's finally out of my clothes. I had to wash them like two or three times, but it was worth it. Yes.
Yeah, my recovery's going pretty well. I think all the briar scratches have healed from marking that last mile of the course.
Yeah.
That grass was like blades of steel. Seriously sharp.
Yeah, we could have missed all that, but Joe made us run right through the middle of it.
Wait for us.
I've got to kind of zigzag it to make it a little bit longer.
Mm. It reminded me like on Jurassic Park when all the velociraptors are all coming together and merging through the grass and all you saw was the trail. That's how I felt at that point. All those were just, the grass was all around us. We were just making our way through that grass field. Like, Dina, when is this happening?
That's a great description.
Right. But I tell you what, taking it all down, that is a beautiful trail through that tall grass.
I wish I would have seen it. It was just so dark. Oh, and maybe it's good we didn't see some things. Right, Tina?
I think that may be best, yes.
Oh, yes. Some things are best left unseen out there, especially things that were growling.
Yes.
But hey,
it wasn't,
you know,
a long enough race for me to hallucinate, so I do think I heard something.
That's true. It wasn't even that late, so yeah, you're right.
No.
We weren't that depleted of oxygen at that point. Don't tell him that, he'll make it harder next year. Whoops.
I mean, there's coyotes out there, frogs.
There was something that was growling. Definitely was growling.
But hey, yeah, you know, I guess we can kind of formally kick it off with, you know, a little bit about yourselves. You know, what's that running background for y'all?
You go first, Tina. Or Amy, you guys go.
Amy, go ahead and go first.
Yeah.
Okay. Running background. Been running about 7 years. I started running as an outlet because I moved from a physical job to a desk job. And I had a couple toddlers at home, and I wanted a break between work and home, so I'd go out and run when I pulled into my driveway. That's how I got started. I've been mostly road running, but I love trail. I just make a lot of excuses why I don't prioritize trail. So I typically get out on trail just for big races. So I don't really run trail for training, but I'll run 50Ks out there. And Skunk Ape and Moon Over Crew, my first night races. So those were both fun this summer.
Woo!
Oh, and I own a running store. Had to plug it. Run Fit in Lutz.
Yeah, Amy, I was going to say, because, yeah, you've got your own, your own running store. What's the history behind that?
Real quick. So I was in, you know, I worked for a restaurant company a long time, 20 years. And I got really into running, head over heels, community, you know, the everything about running. And I wanted just to do something different with the second half of my career. So I quit my job and opened a running store across from my house in the plaza. And I'm coming up on 3 years right now. So working on growing sales and building community and just kind of doing all kinds of stuff. That's kind of where trail running comes into, just experiencing all different facets of running.
I mean, you definitely had a great community out there at the race. There was a lot of people.
Yeah, and my sister community, the Tush Group, they kind of adopted me and showed me the ways of trail. So they did my first inaugural 10-miler out at Croom a couple years ago. That was when I first got into it.
I have been, my first ultra that I ran was in 2017. That was at Jack's. And before that, I lived in Ohio before that, and I did, you know, some road, you know, I started out the usual, started with a 5K and then a 10K and then a half marathon, and that didn't kill me. So then I did a full marathon, but I didn't get into ultra until I moved to Florida. And so, you know, I've just been going at it ever since.
Yeah, Tina, we've got to get back to Ohio and hit that Mohican 100.
I know. You know what? I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and they were talking about Mohican, and I'm like, oh, I really think I need to do that. I've never done 100 yet, though, Joe, so I don't know. But well, I would sure like to give it a go.
That was my first attempt at the 100-mile distance, was at Mohican.
Wow. I'm signed up for long haul in January, so we'll see how that goes, and then maybe I'll put Mohican on my radar.
Woo, perfect. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was just, I've run for a long time just because I was really hyper as a kid. So I ran a lot, got real competitive in school, and because I was really good and fast. So they naturally just said, hey, you're going to be on the cross country team. Our teams always win state. We're good. So I did very competitive running in school. And then after school, I just did it as fun, road running and stuff. Was winning age groups, but it became just like too stressful to compete like that level all the time. So I decided I'll just run it for fun. So been running ever since. Noticed as I got older, I wasn't, my saying is I'm not fast, but I can last. So I've started dipping my toe into the ultra now because I really had a good time at that Bronze Dragonfly. I mean, I felt like I could have gone all day long, all night long. So I think that's where I'm naturally, that's where it's naturally progressing to. So we're going to be challenged at that Pinellas Trail Challenge. And I know I can't enter the long haul 100, but I'd like to aid or crew. I love doing that too. Like I help, I like to crew and pace people. And I don't know, I just like to be around all the running people. I think I'll always have running. So it's always been a thing.
Yeah. And James Mathis.
What? Man, I'm just old and slow. That's why I'm starting to, I mean, I got to go slow, but I try to be like a few others and just keep going, you know, don't stop. Relentless support progress. And I start not so much cooking, but just volunteering. And it's quite rewarding, actually. But what do you mean you don't have Ziploc bags? It's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was supposed to bring Ziploc bags for you. You know.
He might have been talking about me.
I mean, yeah, you were killing at the Burm Aid Station.
Yeah, I heard the ladies at the Barbie outdid us, but we'll do something better next year.
I mean, they might have had Jello shots, but you had that ice cold water.
Yeah, we had ice cold water.
Somebody had a fan too.
Yes, the Mister too.
Oh, that Mister was fantastic.
Oh, and that water was so cold.
You're
it was
welcome.
Amazing.
With all the things you could have done in July, you know, done in your summer, you know, how did you even hear about the Skunk Ape Night Run?
How did you hear about it, Tina?
I've heard about it just from listening to your podcast. And honestly, Joe, when I first would hear about it, I'm like, there is no way I would ever run in a swamp at night. I it wasn't even on my radar to do. And then somehow Marty Gardner kind of talked to me about it. And before I knew it, I was signed up. I'm not really sure how that happened, but I was very intimidated by the thought of running in a swamp at night. Anyway, but yeah, so I can blame Marty Gardner for that, but I'm so glad he kind of twisted my arm into it.
And Marty didn't make it out.
I know. I realized that.
I also had an accomplice. Nick Urania talked me into it. He was recruiting our whole group, and the price was right, and it sounded exciting. And I don't think we really thought about how hot it was going to be or the night piece until we got a little closer in, and then it was a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, intimidating, I thought.
Yeah.
I liked it. I saw some stuff about it, and I'm like, ooh, that sounds fun. Because the more insane it is, the more I like it. Like, that's why I'm thinking the Pinellas Trail may be a real challenge. But the only thing is because it'll be hot. But I like the idea of it being gritty and dirty and gross and at night. And it's just like all these extra obstacles make it that more cool to me. But I did keep telling Tina when we were running, there's no way I would have done that by myself. There's no way I would have ran this by myself. So it was good having her with me because there was too many weird noises going on out there and too many weird things I was seeing. When I did see something, I wouldn't have done that by myself, though. But I like the idea of all the cool, you know, it just being everything, you know. It was, I got to sign up for that. And I think I did in January. I was already ready.
I don't know, remember how I first heard about it in my third year. I think I was just on Ultra Sign Up, you know, searching for anything within 200 miles.
Yeah, James, you've seen the event get a lot better over the years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, man, the way it sells out now and the waiting list, and it's amazing that, you know, people drop out, but, you know, somebody's right there to get their spot.
How quickly did it sell out, Joe?
I think it was like 5 or 6 months, maybe 7 months out.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think I was talking to Kalo. He had run a couple of it during the day, and just the sound of it, Skunk Ape, that just sounded fun to me. I don't know. So when he said, you know, you got to get out there, Kim, and do it at night, it'd be even funner. And there's food. I think that sold me. And then I was like, this is exactly what I like. This is cool.
Yeah, the potluck is always the potluck's a fun part of the race.
Yeah, I have a lot of food out there. Did you like your farm, your Fuller's Farm?
Oh yeah, the cupcakes with all, you know, you got all the little animals on there. There's a couple of little chickens. I think there's only like at the end of the race, there's only like maybe one cupcake or two cupcakes left.
Oh good, somebody got to take critters home.
Yeah, and they took the animals home with them too.
That's awesome. That was a team effort there. Tina made the cupcakes in that amazing addictive icing. And I just did all the funny, you know, animals and farm and stuff. And it was funny because when we brought that up, your mom was right there. I didn't even know it was your mother and your girlfriend. And they're like, oh my God, he's going to love this. I'm like, do you know him? She's like, I'm his mom and I'm his girlfriend. I'm like, well, you sure do know him. Sweet people. I love it.
Yeah, my parents always come down every single year to, you know, kind of help out.
That's awesome. Like that.
But yeah, you know, I mean, like coming into it, you know, did you really have a lot of experience kind of, you know, running at night?
No. I've actually kind of avoided that. So no, I've had very little night running experience, at least a night running in the woods.
True. I run in the heat all the time, 6 p.m. So the heat wasn't too bad. But the night, I was glad Tina's eyes were there with me.
Yeah, that would have been my first night one, but I booked the Moon Over Croom just as a practice run, because I knew I'd only be out at that one about an hour in the dark, and I knew I'd be out at Skunk Ape a couple hours in the dark, but I'm glad I had a person with me too, because sometimes it got a little disorienting between like the course markers to make sure you were still on the path. But good headlamp around my waist and my hat or my keys.
Yes. Yeah. I had that Knox gear in that middle, and Tina, you had that really nice. I don't know what you had. That was very nice.
It was the Kogala. Yeah, when I realized I was going to be doing this race, I looked at the Kogala website, and there were three sizes, small, medium, and large, and I went for the large because I thought, I want to see what's chasing me. I want to know what I'm up against. So I went for the biggest one they had. It's super bright.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, because, you know, once it gets really dark out there, there comes a point where you're just looking for that reflector, like, all right, where's the next reflector at?
Yeah, let's talk about those. So I wasn't hallucinating, but it got me every time. I'd say, Tina, those are some critter eyes, and they weren't critter eyes. They were the reflectors. And she's like, no, it's okay, we're on the right track. And I would constantly catch myself thinking those were critter eyes. But those reflectors, they led the way. Yep.
Oh, it was so well marked. So I do appreciate that.
Yes. You see those pink tasseling and the reflector, the reflective tape was good. See that. Yeah. And the wellness aid stations too. You could see those from a distance and it was like, go to the light. Just keep going to the light. Yes.
Cool.
I like the unmanned aid stations as well. That was like at one point at the beginning of the race, I don't know why it was happening, but I was having the weirdest side stitch. I don't know what that was about, but it was just like an oasis in the desert, seeing that one aid station just by itself on that dirt road. I'm like, oh my God, Tina, look at that. There it is. It was the best feeling ever. And I just was like, no, I had such an appreciation for soda and just all that stuff on the table. I was just wanted to cry. And that was only 5 miles in. And I'm like, oh God, what is this night going to be like? But luckily that pain went away. I don't know what that was, but then it was just nice. It was so well organized everywhere. You know, when you feel like, gosh, another turn, another hill. Oh wait, there's people ahead. There's another person. I think we kept saying that, like, I see a human. I see a human. You know, there's another human. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, is there a trick to running at night? Because I know you guys bought like all different types of, you know, like headlamps or lights and stuff like that.
I think
down
to get acclimated slowly as the sun goes down. It's just doing a cold start running in the dark.
Something I learned between my two races was having two lights, because I only carried one at my previous race and I had to kind of choose to look forward or look down, you know, kind of spray the light in either direction. So that kept me a little, you know, stressed out that I wasn't going to see what I was stepping on or I wasn't going to see ahead. But I liked having the two lamps. So I had one down at my feet and one off in the distance so I could see both. That was something I really liked this time.
Tina, yours lit up pretty good. I had you in the front on some of those single track areas, and it just got, it was outward a lot.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, I was glad we couldn't see to our sides at some point. It was like the darkness was its own blinders and kind of kept his laser focused forward. So I like running at night. I think I have to look up some more night runs. We did that bronze dragonfly at night, which I thought was cool, but I don't know. I have to look for more of those. I like the night thing.
Mm-hmm. Especially with how hot it was, especially when the sun went down, you know, it's just mm-hmm. kind of welcome the night at that point.
Yeah, we weren't frying anymore. We just had a boil, a low boil.
A little simmer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it was really hot. Like this year was really hot.
It was 97 when we got there, a little after 6, wasn't it? Yeah. So we went from frying. I think we did all this. We sauteed, we fried, we boiled. What else was left? Yeah. I don't know. The night adds this different kind of atmosphere. I think it's neat. It's almost like I kept telling Tina, I said, gosh, to run this during the day, it's like a totally different race. I bet it is like a totally different race. Is your wild boar race at the same location?
Yeah, it starts from the same spot. You kind of go down kind of toward the Boy Scout, but then you'll turn left on a different section of the Florida Trail and head out and turn around and come back. And I guess, you know, kind of coming into the pre-race, with it being an evening run, like you do get to sleep in, which is kind of nice. You kind of have that time to just travel over there.
Oh, I enjoyed the drive out there. How about you, Tina? We had lunch. We enjoyed ourselves. We took it easy. We just came on out.
Yeah, it was great. And you don't have to worry about oversleeping, which is always my fear on race day that I'll, you know, sleep through my alarm or something. But yeah, it was nice. And I didn't, you know, I didn't feel like I was getting too worn out during the day to go out and run then 18 miles. I still felt okay. It's the first time I'd ever been to that area. So that was a nice little trip for me.
I didn't know there was so many hills out there. It seemed like these big rolling hills. I didn't even know Florida had.
Oh, yeah. It was nice sleeping in on a Saturday. That might be one of the only Saturdays I can remember recently not running in the morning. So that's kind of weird and different and awesome.
Uh-huh. I think you did a good job out there, Joseph. Everybody was smiling. I mean, even in our pain, I think a lot of people, everywhere I looked, I was like, gosh, everybody's laughing and having a good time out here. It was nice.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It was like a whole group run.
Yeah, and I guess kind of coming into that, you know, the packet pickup, you go, you get your bib. James is out there volunteering at the bib pickup. You know, what was it like at the, you know, the pre-race?
I thought it was a really a fun atmosphere. I didn't pick up that it was like people weren't nervous about getting started or worried about competing with someone. It did kind of seem like a big group run, and that was awesome. Packet pickup went well. It was easy. And then all that food that was spread out there, it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was very easy. And I found myself just kind of wandering around, you know, trying to say hi to people. And I knew we were going to be in the dark soon. So wanted to see who we were out there running with. But everything was a nice start.
The directions were easy to find, too. We were like 10 minutes down the road at our hotel. We went down that one road and I said, my gosh, there's sure a lot of people going in that direction. Tina, follow them. They must be going to the run. And it ends up being the right way. You know, so it was nice. It was in that off the beaten path. So then, you know, all that was back there. So it was nice. And I was excited to see at one point we were on the Florida Trail. So had to take pictures of that. I like it. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. And I want to thank you, Joseph, for the darkness by that last big puddle that was really deep. That saved Tina's life, because if she would have saw it completely in the wide open, she would still be standing on the other side of that pond to this day, not passing it. I think she would have retracted back away. I'm like, you've got to do it. Whatever was in there, I scared it away when I dashed through it. So, yeah, like I said, some things were good that we didn't see. We didn't see some of that stuff.
Yeah, that really did surprise me.
I was around that time in the boom. It was fun. It was like an obstacle course.
I said, was it nice and cool, though, the water?
I don't know if I was in it long enough. It was wet. It was wet. It was cool. It wasn't like a running cool brook, which would have been nice. But I think it was, I know there was a few people in front of us and some behind us. So I'm like, well, we're not last, because we'll just get through this and we'll just keep going forward. We were out there a while.
But yeah, so it's like, you know, take me to that starting line, you know, kind of like what's going through your mind before you all take off?
I felt kind of like I kept feeling like I'd forgotten something. Like I just, I thought, what am I forgetting? Like I'm really forgetting something major here, because I felt like I was kind of in a rush when the race actually started, just because of my own, you know, leaving stuff in the car and that sort of thing. So I didn't have time to get nervous or anything, though. But I felt like it was just a really positive atmosphere, and people were there just to not as competitive, just really out to have a good time, just to have a good trail run.
Yeah, I liked how the start was double track. You know, sometimes when you start on that single track, you get kind of stuck in a line, and sometimes you're running at a pace that you don't want to be running at, or, you know, it can be a little bit more stressful or having to make more decisions there. But I like the double track. It really felt like we were all going out together. A little battle cry on the way out, I think.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool, because what better way to spend a Saturday afternoon? I'm like, look at all these people that were all there on a Saturday evening. We're going to run into the swamp, run into the night. And we all have that oneness of, we all want to do this. And it was neat, because you see all different talent levels, really, really fasties down to the slowies. And we're all there just to run this cool trail. And I'm just watching and observing everybody, you know, and I just thought it was neat. Like, all these people have this common, like, we're kindred about us, and we're all out there and we're all having a good time. I don't think there was any emergencies that I'm aware of, and I don't think anybody didn't have a good time. And it was neat how you had the Florida men there, and then the city commissioner was there. It was just like, wow, we're being like, this is a big deal. This is pretty neat. You know, that's what I was thinking, just watching everybody looking around at all the different people.
I imagine that city commissioner had no idea that there were that many people that would show up on a Saturday night to run through a swamp.
Right.
If you're not into ultra running, it just is hard to wrap your head around that many people would do that.
Mm-hmm.
I will say she was very, very surprised.
I'll bet.
when she walked in, she was kind of just like wide-eyed looking around like, holy cow.
Yeah, there's like a weird tribe she's stumbled upon in the swamps of Florida. So out, like Amy said, a battle cry as we left the starting line. It's feeling to be a kid, like you're on recess or something. It's neat. I'm glad there's people like you, Joseph, that are directing these kind of events for us, so we have an outlet, so we have something fun to do. I don't know. It's neat. I love it.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just can't take a race super seriously. But then it's like, you know, the Florida Man on Florida Man podcast, the commissioner, they did the countdown. You guys, you know, you make your way down that old forest road through the tall grass into like the actual forest road. You go out to that old Boy Scout camp. You know, how did those early miles go down to Aid Station 1? Because I know it's only like 5 miles.
That building that sits out there by itself, like Camp Crystal Lake building, what was that? That was creepy. I was looking for Jason out there. Oh my good God. You can have a Halloween run out there.
I felt really good starting out. And it was, you know, the pace was good. It wasn't, you know, I didn't feel like I was getting overly, you know, it wasn't so hilly that I felt like I was overexerting myself. I thought the first part went really well. And through the whole race, I felt like the miles really just kind of fly by. I was surprised. Like, I would look down, I'm like, oh, we're already at mile four. This is great. Mm-hmm.
I liked on the first section how you could see the runners coming back at you, because I had a lot of friends up in the leader pack and I wasn't sure where, you know, we all kind of take off and I don't know where they are. And then it's like you get to get a good count on where everybody is. Not to compete with them, but just to know where everybody is around you, and nice to say hi to people. And there was so much encouraging happening on that piece, because, you know, after that, you don't really do a section where you see people other than that part in the berm coming back at you. So I really like that part. I always enjoy when there's an out and back like that on the course.
I agree with me. I do like that part too.
I agree. Yeah. Cause it was neat. And even the fasties, they would still be like, keep going, you guys look great, you know, and we're cheering them on and they're cheering us on. So it was really neat to see like them, because you don't see them again, you know, not often you get to see the front runners. But yeah, and that section was pretty flat and even, and we were talking about like, do we continue this as a run walk like we typically do? I don't think we'll need to. So we just kept a pretty steady pace through that area, you know. It was nice. And I knew once we got out of there, it was okay, gosh, before you know it, we only have a half marathon left, you know. And the way the course is windy like it was, it just went by fast, because there was at one point I turned to Tina and I said, no, we're not at 12 miles, what do you mean we only have a 5? And then we'd had like mile 16 or whatever, we only have a 5k left, what are you talking about, like what, wait, what just happened? Yeah, it goes by quick, I think, because you can't see half of it, but then also you just, it changes constantly. It's not this mundane, I don't know, boring run. It was always different. The terrain was different. The atmosphere was different. Even the air differences. I mean, when you got down in that boggy area, it smelled differently. And it was just all constantly changing. So I think that just made it go by really quick, too. So I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, the next section of that course from the first aid station to the second, you know, that's kind of that's that ridge section. You know, you have the sandy hills, you know, at this point for a lot of people, it's sunset. You know, how did that little short section, you know, how did it go?
That section caught me a little off guard. I don't know. I had grabbed an elevation map from someone and I thought there's a little less. So that section, I felt like I was climbing quite a bit. And that's where I started my run walk and I started leapfrogging a lot of other runners at that point. But it was beautiful. That's when the sun was setting for me and I was able to watch that as I was doing those climbs.
I have to agree with that, because there were some other guys that were running with us and I got to get their names. They were great. They said, be careful ahead because it's going to be sandy. You're going to do some walking up there. And we were prepared and for that, because he had told us. And it was windy and it was hilly, but it was a different terrain than the first 5 miles. So the next section, it was, you know, it was constantly changing, like I said, and it made it very interesting. And I don't know, I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the elevation on the course is in that ridge, that little 4 mile ridge section.
Oh yeah, because I remember looking at it, I was like, oh, 200 feet over 18 miles, that's nothing. But it's really like 200 feet over 2 miles. So yeah. That, you know, that puts a little different perspective on it.
Yeah, and James, I mean, you've ran that section before as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that sand. Ooh, it's rough doing hills and sand. But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, because, you know, like after the ridge, this is the section that everybody's excited for, you know, the berm. You know, you see the aid station twice, you get to see Scott, all the volunteers, James is there. You know, how did the berm loop go down?
Backwards. Yeah, let's talk about the berm. Shall we, Tina? Y'all saw the picture, right? The picture of the map. How did we do that, Tina? How did we go the wrong way?
I don't know.
And we even questioned the people that were asking us. What happened?
Y'all went counterclockwise?
Yeah.
Oy vey.
Well, we went clockwise.
But it wasn't long that we realized our error and we backtracked and did it the right way.
We did it the right way. But the funny thing was, when people were asking us if we were lost, we thought they were joking and we were kidding around with them and we were laughing. We're like, yeah, yeah.
And they were going the wrong way and we just laughed.
And we were really getting a good speed back in there too. I was pretty proud of us for it being so squishy back there, you know.
But yeah,
of all the places, it was just a loop. But yeah, that's fun.
Well, the berm always has, you know, it's kind of legend.
And I think some of our fastest miles were in the berm.
Maybe so. Yeah,
I'm curious.
I'm not a big fan of running in the sand, and other than my shoes kept filling up, and it was just because of my shoes kept filling up with sand. I had to dump the sand out of them a couple of times. But other than that, the berm had a reputation that I kept hearing about, and it wasn't as bad as what I was anticipating. I have to say that I was expecting much worse from the berm, so I was pleasantly surprised.
Come on. We were thinking it was going to be like a hill. We were playing games of trying to guess what it was, because we have berms in the neighborhoods, the new neighborhoods that are being built, and they build these big berms around, and they're like these big mounds of dirt. So we're thinking we're going to be at a 90-degree climb mode any minute, and we're like, where's this going to smack us right in the face? So we're thinking of these huge berms, sand berms, that we're going to have to hike over and, you know, reach down and you grab my hand and I'll grab your hand and we'll hoist over. So we're like, we studied the map. We're like, all right, we're going in, and it was flat and it was flat. And I'm like, all right, where's this big old hill, you know, this thing? And we're like, well, wait a minute. We don't even know what we're doing. We don't even know what we're talking about right now. We're expecting these huge Indian mounds kind of things. So I think that's why we were going quickly through there, because it was flat.
Well, I have to offer a difference of opinion on this one. It was way worse than I thought, and I somehow missed the memo about it being kind of circular, so I felt like I was on this endless Ferris wheel loop, like, every time I took a turn, I'm like, this circle has to come, like, how am I still in the same circle? Like, I've been curving.
Yeah, that's true.
But there were some sections where, like, it wasn't just like deep sand, it was like super uneven, so it was almost like a twisted ankles, like, you know, dream in there. You had to be nimble, and you had to keep just popping up and, you know, walking when you need to. And I don't know, I complained a lot in that section, so you could ask Nick. I was I don't think I was quiet the whole 2.5 miles.
Yeah, I think it's like just over 3 miles, and there's over 12 left turns.
See, that's what I'm talking about right there.
And 4 or 5 right turns, according to me and Tina. We've made it a little bit different. Yeah, that was fun, though. I think I went ahead coming out of that berm to secure her a chair so she could get there, get her shoes dumped out, and then we moved on to the next spot.
Oh, but the aid station, the water was so cold. I just kept talking about it, and then I lost my partner because I just got distracted, and he's like halfway down the road and I'm still talking about the cold water.
Oh, mercy. And is that with the fan? They had a big fan there.
They were misting for sure. Misting, and
it was wonderful.
Yeah, Scott brought out the fan, and that even saved us being aid workers there, because if you weren't in the path, the breeze from the fan, it was hot. And you could step out, step in it just for a minute. Like, yeah, that's nice. Now I got to get back to work.
Yeah, I had to warn people. You don't want to be in the downdraft on me. If I'm going to stand in front of this fan, you might want to get on the other side, because it's been a long 8 miles so far, and it hasn't been pretty. And it was kind of swampy and soggy in there. So it was nice having that, for sure.
Yeah, and James, I mean, you and Scott rocked that aid station. You know, I kind of just let you guys do whatever you wanted, you know. How'd you figure out what you wanted to do at that aid station?
Well, I've seen the misters before, you know, the pump, we called them Hudson sprayers, and fill it with water and let it sit for a minute and put it on a fine mist and just spray people's back after you get permission. Because if you do it to somebody that's not ready for it, you might drop them.
But, going to shock.
Go straight to the And I thought the fan, it's like, yeah, it's going to be okay. And it's like, no, that fan was a lifesaver that Scott brought out, a little generator he had.
Mm-hmm. It certainly was.
I was glad to have, I had a pretty good crew from our run club running and doing aid stations. So I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, it was like a big Marion County Runners and Ultras out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like after the berm, you kind of make your way to the Barbie Babe Cave, the Barbie aid station, that aid station number four. You know, that's some of the darkest sections of the trail. And, you know, there was that heat lightning going on. You kind of see that kind of booming and popping everywhere. You know, how are those miles coming into the Barbie aid station?
Well, someone told me that there was a limestone road after the berm, and that's where you could just kind of book it. But that was not true. There was a half mile about, and then we turned into the woods, and it was dark and a lot of roots and a lot of sticks. And I swear there was no path, but somehow Nick was following it. So I just stayed on his tail.
My favorite part right through there.
Oh man, I don't know. I was having a lot of like fears, and I don't know, there were spiders and.
Well, it does have a Blair Witch feel.
Yeah, like I was just tumbling through the woods.
Okay, was that before the slippery lime rock road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was pretty cool because all that heat lightning was going on, and they had just reported like there may be a line of storms coming through, and I'm like, well, gosh, we better get finished because I don't want to get not finish the race because of lightning. But the heat lightning was super cool, but I didn't want to keep pulling my phone out and taking pictures. So that section went by pretty quick, I think. I don't recall anything strange happening in there. Do you, Tina?
No, I don't. Just about how dark it was.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, I'm sure that was one of the sections that I thought, I'm so glad I'm not out here by myself.
Yeah.
I would have been afraid.
Yeah. I would have dropped back to run with somebody or sped up if I had to. But we were leapfrogging a couple of guys constantly. Joe Miller, the guy with the yellow shorts. I need to find out who he was. He was wonderful with us. Yes, and another guy. Mm-hmm.
I guess it was awesome seeing that gate cave though when we came out.
Popsicles. Oh gosh, that was wonderful.
Yeah, the popsicles.
Yeah, well, you go see in black woods and all of a sudden this bright pink Barbie singing people out there. It's like, yay, there's humans. And you get popsicles. Yeah, awesome. And you get treated wonderful. Yeah, everybody was great. Volunteers were awesome. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like when you think there's no civilization, then all of a sudden, like, how did they get the aid station out here in the middle of the woods? That's the best place ever. Yeah, it was neat. Because you can't see forest roads and stuff. You're just seeing, like, gosh, they just drop them in here like Operation Dumbo Drop. They just dropped them smack dab in the woods. It was best ever. I think after we left that is when things got with the slippery lime rock. I mean, I felt like I was ice skating.
Yeah, because, yeah, sure. After that, you know, that's that long, endless, dark road, that limestone road. And then, obviously, you know, you kind of make it to the grass. Keep going straight. Don't turn down the road because that'll take you back to the Mermaid Station.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, if that's that long road, you kind of make your way to the finish. You know, how'd that final stretch go?
Tina, I'll let you talk about the Lime Rock Road.
Well, apparently it was a little more slippery than I thought, or there was a route. I don't really know what I tripped over to fall. But when I say I felt, I mean, I have fallen before in trail runs and you just like, you know, you land on your knees and your hands. I mean, I was flat out. I mean, like I scraped the tops of my thighs because of being on the road and my inner arms and my chin and neck.
Yeah.
I mean, I hit hard.
She turned out like a deer on ice, you know, just splayed out everywhere. I looked back at her, and I'm like, oh my God, she was all over. And her little spout for her water bladder was spread out everywhere. I said, oh my God, the only route in the entire road, you found it. And I think the reason you flew out so far is because we were picking up our pace through there somehow in that slipperiness. And I was just about to turn because we heard something growl earlier and you were checking to see where that one girl was compared to us to see if she was getting closer. Should we slow down, reel her into us? And we got right back into our rhythm and then bloop, bloop. And that was before the grass. So it was probably about a good quarter mile before that grass.
Well, that was. Yeah. And I did the usual, you know, the kind of the body check, you know, okay, everything can move. And now how many people saw me? That's the next question. So
there was a few people nearby, the group in front of us, those guys. But I was just concerned, and we were just talking about you staying healthy and strong for the October
For Javelina 100, yes.
Javelina 100. We were just having this conversation. Like, we've made a good race. You've not tripped, twisted ankles. You know, you just need to stick to road running the next couple of races so you don't twist an ankle. You need to be healthy for Marty. And bam.
Down I went. And I hit hard.
So, yeah, you got whiplash? I thought she had whiplash. She hit so hard. I was so worried about it the rest of the way back. Like, oh God, you did, you know.
Yeah, but you know, really, I mean, I was able to run the rest of the way. And I mean, other than having just some like scrapes, it was fine. But yeah.
I could definitely see how that could happen. It was slick. We were hauling butt on that section, and I was a little nervous. This was going to be the moment for me, but it didn't happen. But your story is actually not funny, but it made me giggle a little.
It was funny. It really
was funny. And the timing was horrible because we were just talking about being so graceful and being careful not to hurt ourselves, and we've had a successful run so far, and then blam, there it went.
Yeah.
I, up to that point, I was okay. I don't know what, and Tina experienced this with me because I let her well know. I said, I'm not starting to feel good. And I knew we still had like a 5K left, but I reminded myself, oh, why am I feeling so terrible? I didn't take in enough fuel. I don't know why I was thinking, oh, this is just going to be a quick little short trail run. I was definitely not taking in enough calories, carbs. I was running out of energy, and it's not like me. And I kept telling Tina, I probably in the next mile is going to go to a dark place. And I asked her, how do you deal when you go to a dark place? Like, what do you do? Like, because I've never had any of that happen in races before, but it was happening in this one for some reason. And I don't know what took over me, but I said, I want to get this over with as fast as possible. And I just took off. I just took off running fast, just flying through the grass. I said, just come with me. Just come on. I got to get this over with. So even though it was just the casual, relaxing group run, I still should have been mindful of my nutrition because the calories were getting burned up and I wasn't replacing them. And I was starting to hit hard. So
something somebody told me a long time ago was, if you're feeling emotional or negative, you're hungry.
That's exactly what I was. I told her, I said, I think I'm hangry and I don't know who I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Because I'm always a happy person. I'm always in a good mood and encouraging to others. But I said, I'm going in a deep place. And I don't know what it was, but when we got to that grass, nothing else existed. It was just me and that grass, and I just took off. And that's why I went through that mud puddle thing so fast. I looked back and I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I should have tethered you to me, but I was in a dark place, and it was because I was out of gas. Yeah. But it kept winding in all that grass. And I'm like, what is this man doing to us? This is a cruel joke. And it just kept winding and twisting. And I'm like, I see the finish line, but I'm not getting there. And I was just getting crazy. And then there was these potholes. Like, somebody purposely went out there and dug these little landmines. And I'm like, Tina, be careful. You're going to twist your ankle. And she's like, I'm worried about you. You're just like Mach 5 through there. That was twisted. You know, I'm like, this last half mile. Oh, I wasn't saying kind words. And I was like, this is crazy. But then as soon as we crossed the finish line, I was all happy again. And just like, oh, this was the funnest day ever. Yeah. Lesson learned.
Yeah, I mean, even too, the good thing for this year, the briars are pretty light this year.
I didn't have any briar cuts. Did you get cut? Anybody get cut up?
I thought I was going to be a little bit more cut up because I kept feeling stings, but they were pretty minor. You know, the next day I've done sweat, swat, and swear where I've come out with like whole pricks inside my leg and, you know, kind of sore spots, but these were pretty mild. I thought that grass section was just crazy. I really don't believe it was a trail. We were just running through a weird field forever. Yes. And again, if I wasn't following someone, I don't know if I would have found the markers. Maybe I would have, I don't know. But that section just might as well have been running blindfolded. You don't know what you're stepping on. I just hope for the best.
If that's true. I ate a lot of bugs. There was a lot of gnats and mosquitoes. If I stopped too long, like just even at the aid stations, if I stood there too long, I was like getting attacked by the bugs. But, you know, we are in the woods and that comes with the territory. So I just said, well, I guess we better keep moving. So I don't know how the crew, the volunteers, made it at the aid stations, because they must have been getting attacked big time. They were just swarming. You could just hear them swarming, all the critters of the night.
We had bug sprays and a big fan.
That's true.
And some serious DEET.
Yeah, that finish line field, you know, it literally is just an open field of like knee to waist high grass. And it's kind of just, I just snake it around to add the mileage in there.
Yeah, when it's wet, it hurts even worse, because it's like little knives cutting your legs. That's already soggy legs. So yeah, it was like a little torture run. Icing on the cake.
But yeah, I mean, even with the finish line, you know, once you leave that weird strip of zigzags, you know, you finally make it across that finish line. What was it like to make it to that finish line?
I think Amy got there before us. We'll let her go first.
I was just going to say, it's always a relief, right? You know, it's over and then it's exciting and, you know, everybody's cheering you in. It's back to the community. Everybody's around. And I don't know. Whenever I see the clock, I always just get so excited. Like, oh my gosh, like this thing's been running this whole time I've been out here, and I got to come back to it. And then, you know, you're going to have the opportunity to tend to yourself, whether it's, you know, getting out of your wet clothes or grabbing a bite to eat or something. You know, you have some pleasure coming. You know that.
You know, relief is there. Tina, you weren't in any kind of weird spot like I was, so you probably just kept going and being as happy as you always are.
I just kept going, and I mean, it's always, you know, a relief when you see it, but it wasn't, you know, the kind of race I wasn't like, oh, I'm dying, you know, that I couldn't have gone another mile or two. But I was really looking forward to some food and something else to drink. And then just the, you know, there were still so, even though we finished, you know, more towards the back of the pack, there were still a lot of people around, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a fun atmosphere at the end.
Yeah, because, you know, like once you finish, you know, unlike a lot of other races where there's a fancy, you know, you get like a fancy medal or something like that. At this race, you know, it's really just a cup. You know, what finisher cup or glass or container, what did you end up choosing?
I had to go with the coffee mug, because I always have to have my coffee, and I really enjoyed it that week, taking sweet sips out of it.
I don't think there were any coffee mugs left by the time I finished, because that's what I would have taken too. So I took just one of the glasses that has the skunk ape symbol on it, and I much prefer something like that over a medal. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I'm sure all of us have a shoebox in the top of our closet where we just throw the medals in and that's the end of it. That's what I do with mine anyway. So I really like getting something like a mug or something useful. I would much prefer that at the end of a race.
Mm-hmm. I took a pint glass. We have a collection of pint glasses that my husband's been collecting since everywhere he travels, he brings those back. So that was just cool to have that one, you know, all the ruckus and all of his cute little pint glasses. And I've got that skunk ape right there in the front. And I like all the stickers. I love the stickers. I like all the funny sayings. So that fall for roots, not feelings was Tina's motto that night.
Yeah. And,
this is the coolest things. I'm an artist, so all the funky, cool stuff like that, I'm all for. I was thrilled about the stickers, that there were so many. So I'll take that over a medal any day, stickers and cool stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely. And I was so glad to see everybody was able to sign your birthday canvas. That was that warmed my heart.
Oh, yeah. First off, thank you for the canvas. It's in the office now. I made it from the shed to the office.
I love it. Yeah, I stole your idea of one of your advertisements where you were doing those ransom letters. I'm like, this guy's right up my alley. I like it. And I'm going to put that on there. And instead of giving the peace symbol, I was going to have him hold your balloons for your podcast balloons. Just another chance to do something cool. Love it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, kind of after the race, there's really just kind of a chill atmosphere with the potluck, you know. That's a huge part of the race that really kind of just brings the community together. You know, how'd the potluck go?
Lots of food. And I like seeing everybody still there. Some of the elites were still there, like hanging out and cheering and having conversations. Some of the volunteers were coming in and talking with us. I loved it. It was like a Sunday reunion with your family, hanging out and chit-chatting and talking. I loved it. Food, drinking, everything. Everything you want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They were a lot hanging around. Sadly, I had no appetite. So I looked at all the yummy things, but I did not get to eat anything there. Couple beverages, but yeah, a lot of our crew was really enjoying it. And hopefully next time I will have an appetite for some of that good stuff. I was pretty hungry by the time I got in bed at 2 a.m.
I have to agree with Amy. I had lost my appetite mid half my problem in the races, mid race. I was just craving chips and salsa. I couldn't find any. And I kept telling Tina, we got back to the hotel. I said, I just want some chips and salsa. But there was a lot of food. I had anything I could ever want there, but I just couldn't. I had some vegetables and stuff, but I couldn't get myself to eat. And I've got to work on that. I definitely need help in that area.
Mm-hmm. I took one of the to-go containers back to the hotel because, unlike some people, I never lose my appetite. And so I could eat there and then again later on, too. So, yeah, it was great. It was just kind of, I went through the line a couple times because I wasn't sure if I was wanting salty or sweet or, so it took me a little bit of time to decide on what I wanted. But yeah, the to-go containers were really nice. So thanks for having those.
That's a good point. That is very nice having. I'm a Ziploc fanatic, but those Tupperware things were even better. The things that you use, that's a great idea because there's a lot of times there's some snacks and foods afterwards, but how do you get it home? You just throw it in your bag or how do you get it back? That was a good idea. Good thinking. Very good thinking on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a dude that had like five of them stacked up and he's like, all right, perfect. I'm not hungry now, but I know my 4-hour drive home, I'm going to get hungry.
Right. Absolutely, yeah.
And there was plenty of food. So you could take five to-go containers and there was still plenty of food.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I was looking forward to getting some chicken, but I just couldn't bring myself to eat anything. And yeah, I'm going to have to research some better ways of fueling myself for these longer runs, get the nutrition in, and not a whole baggie full of icing, which is what I ate. I was obsessed with Tina's icing, and she's like, Kim, what are you doing? I'm taking it with me. It's going in a Ziploc. It's going in the pouch. So between icing and my lemons, I'm obsessed with lemons and salt. You know, that's what I fueled with, and that is not what you need to be doing. Okay, if you want to know what not to do, come talk to Kimberly. I'll tell you. So I need some direction. I probably need some supervision. And thank God Tina was out there for me because I needed that.
Yeah, funny. You know, it kind of what the good part is, you know, a lot of the food that gets left over is a lot of the sweets and a lot of the chips. And, you know, for this race, you know, none of it goes to waste. You know, a lot of that stuff, it's hard to donate junk food to places. You know, like a lot of the homeless shelters, they don't want junk food. They want just normal people food.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a place called the Timothy Initiative. You know, it's a men's recovery group home, essentially. You know, they work, they live, you know, they do faith stuff. And a lot of those guys, you know, when they're coming out of addiction, sweets and savory, that is so helpful for them, kind of, you know, when they get shaky. Mm-hmm. So that food that comes from the race, you know, it actually goes to a place where it's actually needed and it's actually helpful for them.
Oh, that's great. That's good. That's
it was good. Nice seeing your updates after the race to see mm-hmm. those kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good that you're able to do that. 100%. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I guess we can kind of wrap it up with, you know, what was the good, the bad, and the ugly for the Skunk Ape Night Run?
Amy, do you want to go first?
Okay. The good was, I don't know, the overall experience, the magic of crossing the finish line, the community, the aid stations, just fellowship, you know, other runners out there, the challenge, you know, a little bit of the mystique around the water crossing. I had heard so much about that in advance. I was like, oh my God, this thing is going to be up to my chest and all of my parts are going to be wet. And so, yeah, just that was the good. The bad for me was the endless, I think you said 12 left turns in the berm. That was definitely my low point. And I don't think there was any ugly for me. I really enjoyed it. And I'd definitely do it again next year.
For me, I think the good was that I overcame my fear to actually do a night run in a swamp. So that was good that I was able to do that. The bad was definitely that water crossing. I was really afraid. So I stood there for a minute and like, I've got to go through this. I looked, there was no way to get around it. And so I just had to do it. So that for me, that was the trickiest part, was making myself go through that. And the ugly were just my bruises and scrapes after my fall.
So I guess the good was, I liked the whole community. I liked the calm, not just welcoming atmosphere. Everybody's there, like I said, one kindred family, so to speak. I loved the course. I loved it constantly changing. I loved that, you know, there was always something new. The smells, like I said, the smells, the elevation, the terrain. I loved that. The bad, that, you know, even though we can read a map and look at a sign, we still went the wrong way. I honestly, and we even took a picture. We took a picture of it.
We read it, but we were not paying attention. We were not.
I think we were just so excited about, we're out here running in the woods. I don't even know. That was pretty funny. And the ugly was all self-imposed because I didn't take in enough fuel. And so I started getting kind of hangry. Luckily, no one was around me to experience that. And Tina, but she worked right with me. So lesson learned, but like I said, as soon as you get done, just like giving birth, you don't feel the pain anymore. It's all happy. When I got through that finish line, I was all happy again. It was all like, yeah, this is why I'm doing this. This is great. Yep. So I loved it. Job well done, Joseph. I will definitely run it again and maybe look into a few of your other runs as well.
Yeah. And James, you know, you've ran it, you volunteered it. You know what? What's that final view, that final reflection?
Well, I got to say, I'm just totally amazed that I have such good friends that show up to these events. Some weekends are just huge family reunions, and I'm not anybody. I'm still working on getting the aid station down. Anybody's got any plan, something they need? Because a friend told me about mustard packs, and, you know, I was at BJ's like 2 days before the race, a hot dog and fuel, and like, let me get some of these mustard packs. I got 8. There was only one left when we cleaned up that aid station. There were none on, so somebody hit the mustard and the pickle juice. You know, they both did about the same thing. And the bad was getting home after about a 2-hour drive. And as soon as I stepped out, man, both my hammies locked up. I know there's a pickle juice somewhere in this van. Where is it? I hobbled to it, got it, drank it, and just stood there for just leaning up against the van, sweating. I can make it up the steps now. And I was like, I rinsed off in the shower and got up next morning, felt fine, washed the sheets, and then you know, the cleanup afterwards. Oh my God, all those coolers. And the bad is almost, you know, worrying to death I was going to run out of water. But 2 gallons of Gatorade away and 1 gallon of water. But you start filling up bladders, you know, going into the berm and out of the berm, you know, that's 2 liters sometimes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But that's almost a gallon.
Right.
And then, of course, we probably used 1.5 gallons in the mister, but I think that was well worth it. I'll just bring more water next time.
Yeah, that mister was definitely a hit.
Mm-hmm. It may be another $8 mister. Mm-hmm. It's definitely going to be at the Tampa 100 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I have a mister at my stations. And when I set up Kimspiration stations, I have misters, I have ice, I have salt, watermelon, lemons, all the things that I, and Ziplocs and Band-Aids. Yeah, your guys' aid stations are awesome. Loved it. Disco music for sure. Somebody was playing music at their station. I loved it. Job well done, Joseph. We really enjoyed ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to thank all the people from Marion County Runs. Well, we've got, you know, the runners and the volunteers. We had Mike, Shay, Susan, her husband, Mark, Diane. Volunteers. We appreciate guys coming out, putting in some time. It's much appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, very much.
Oh, yeah, especially Susan's husband, who had to hang out at the Barbie aid station all night.
Yeah, Susan's husband, Mark.
Yep.
He's a good guy. Great guy.
And whoever was left behind at 2 a.m. to clean up that pavilion, oh, my gosh, I can only imagine. Yeah, that was totally tough.
Luck.
Oh, it's fun because I don't tear anything down until the last people cross the finish line.
Right, and you had your work cut out for you.
And that's much appreciated because I've been near the end of the finish line, and it's mm-hmm. so disappointing to finish a race when mm-hmm. the only thing that's left is like 1 gallon of lukewarm water. It's much appreciated that you don't tear it down until the last person crosses.
Everybody gets that same finish line experience, even though it might just be me standing there yelling. But
yeah,
same experience.
And I did notice that you were always there with a smile whenever you knew a runner was coming. You'd run back over there and you were there to greet them. And I thought that was awesome. You were very attentive to the runners, to the volunteers, to the spectators. You were very attentive. And that's kudos to you for that. Made everybody feel real special.
See Andy show up at the end.
Oh yeah, Andy and Elaine, they sweep the course.
They were sweeping. See, I think they were going in the berm when we were coming out of the berm, and I'm like, that guy looks familiar. Why does he look familiar to me?
Well, hey, y'all, I appreciate it. This was awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
It was a great race.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm reminiscing.
Lots of fun. Thanks for having us on your podcast.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's bedtime.
Yeah, it's bedtime.
Got to get up early in the morning. So, well, thank you, Joseph. Right, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Beef Boy, we'll see you Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Saturday sounds like bring some ice.
Just be looking for bringing ice. I'll have my canopy set up with my inflatable couch.
Oh,
you're welcome to it.
Sounds like fun. Have a good night, guys.
Have a good night.
See ya. Good night.
All right. Thank you, guys.
And there we have it with Tina, Kim, Amy, and James for this year's Skunk Ape Night Run. What a blast. And hey, until next time, happy trails.